Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 149 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
This is Brutal Dave.
Brutal Dave, what's
How's it going? I'm like 100 episodes into this show now.
I know, right? Can you believe it?
Wild.
I am too, right?
Yeah.
We started at the same time.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
This might be your anniversary episode.
100.
I think we're past that already.
Maybe.
I think we're a little better than 100.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it the paper anniversary? Because I got a piece of paper right here.
It's gold, sir. It's gold.
It's gold now?
Yeah. All right.
Welcome.
George Tripsis.
How's everybody been doing?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. We haven't actually got together since Comic Palooza. We've all been...
It's been a hot minute.
Yep. And there's a lot of stuff that
we've... happened.
A lot of stuff has happened. Then. We've seen. We've done. We're going to get into it. Our main topic of this episode is going to be some E3 discussion. There's a couple games we really want to talk about and some stuff we want to bitch about, I guess. And let's say that.
Story of my life.
Yeah, I know. And we're going to have George Hates Metal, and we're going to see what's tickling our geeks later.
Woohoo!
It's going to be a fun episode.
All right.
So let's get into what we've been doing recently, what we've been seeing, what... Movies have we seen? What games have we been playing? What concerts have we seen?
Y'all went to a concert?
We went to a concert.
Cool.
2 nights ago, as of this recording.
Wow.
We saw Oceans of Slumber and Insomnium.
Yep.
And it was a fucking amazing show.
It really was.
He's wearing an Oceans
wearing
of Slumber shirt.
My Oceans of Slumber shirt. I was wearing my Insomnium shirt yesterday.
There you go.
I think... Maybe for me, initially, the main draw for the show was to kind of catch back up with Oceans of Slumber.
Right.
Because the last time I saw them was either... It was right around the time that Winter
That's that show we went
out.
To at Fitzgerald's?
No, that was prior. The one at Fitz was earlier. They played the tribute, show.
For Bill Bates. Yeah.
That was the last time I saw them, and that was right around the time Winter was coming out.
Yeah.
And they were just getting ready to go on their first European tour and all that kind of stuff in support of that. And so this was kind of a cool opportunity to catch up, see them play some of the new material live, and that was kind of the main draw for me. They were great. I thought they did a great performance.
I always do.
And it seemed to me, the way I read it, they were the major draw of the night. Did you catch that impression?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
A lot
of people left after them.
A lot of people left after Oceans played. I take no pleasure in saying this, but the other impression I had was that the Insomnium merch guy was bored most of the night.
Yeah.
And there were lines for the Oceans of Slumber merch table.
Oh, sad day.
So, yeah. I felt kind of bad, but they did a great job.
It's kind of sad when the opener does better than the headliner.
They're in their hometown.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they've got some of that.
Yeah,
you know,
our definitely true.
Hometown boys and girl done themselves right kind of a thing. And
Oceans of Slumber is on this entire tour, so it's not just a Houston date. So there's a couple weeks left of this tour.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still go out there and check out the show. I know our good friend Brian Hogan down in Florida is chomping at the bit to finally get to see Oceans of Slumber.
He's in for a treat.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be good. So the thing for me, though, pardon me, is Insomnium was... Getting to see them. How many times have you seen Insomnium?
This will be my third time.
This was the third time.
Yeah.
This is my first time to see Insomnium. And I've not been listening to Insomnium as long as you have. And for me, they've always been kind of like another melodic death metal band who's clearly very good, but not one that I paid tons of attention
to.
After this show
changed.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
They're going on my favorites list now. They were fucking phenomenal. That was a great show.
So they started off their – so let's talk about their set a little bit. They started off – they played Winter's Gate in its entirety all 40 minutes of it, which is pretty awesome.
Is it the that's how they played, or
No. I mean, this is a headlining show for them, so they were able to play.
They played about an hour and a half.
Really? Yeah,
about
that's a long show.
It was good. It was really good. And apparently the guitar player, I didn't realize that, but the guitar player that's on tour with them doing the clean vocals and stuff like that, I'm going to look this up.
I was wondering who he was.
Yeah, because not Ville, because for some reason he's not on this tour.
So while you look that up, yeah. I'll talk about the other guitarist. I didn't realize until I was looking up information about them yesterday. He's a guitarist from Omnium Gatherum, who I love.
Yes, that is true.
I love really? Omnium Gatherum, yeah.
He's and Insomnium?
And in Insomnium.
Wow.
And I'm like,
maybe
oh, okay.
That's why I like both of those bands.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, that totally makes sense. Because I love Omnium Gatherum. And I mean, I love Insomnium now as well. But to me, it was.
I guess they never tour together.
Yeah. Omnium Gatherum is coming later this year, and I'm going to that show too. But I've always thought. What I've heard of Insomnium was very good, and I've heard quite a bit. I've just never really dug in and listened to it, but I'm definitely doing that now. Their show was phenomenal, and getting to hear a lot of their songs that I am familiar with, hearing them play them live, they nailed it. I mean, they sounded great. The band was tight, you know, a lot of energy.
I've always liked their music.
I had a great time. I was really impressed.
The guitar player that's taking place for Ville, I don't know why he's not on this tour, but the guy's name is Nick Cordell.
He's didn't apply for a visa.
Been in Arch Enemy, Arsis, and Sanctuary.
Okay. So,
did you hear me?
He did a good job.
Maybe he didn't apply for a visa in time.
Maybe not. That's not a joke. I mean, that that happens to a lot of bands.
Happens a lot.
So you mentioned Omnium Gatherum. They're coming here in October on the October tour with.
It's going to be a great show.
Fucking. So it's Dark and Tranquility.
Who I've never gotten to see live.
Oh, really?
Never have. I love Dark Tranquility.
So Moonspell, Dark Tranquility. I can't even say it. Dark Tranquility. Omnium Gatherum and Amorphis.
That's going to be a great, great show.
Saying it right now. Amorphis, album of the year for me.
We talked about it a little bit at Comic-Palooza.
Yeah.
It has surprised the shit out of me. I like Amorphis, but I've expressed some of my issues with them on the show in the past. I don't have any of those on this album. Like, all that stuff that I usually am kind of meh about, it's not present this time.
Like, have you heard the new Amorphis yet?
I've listened to a couple of songs. The Bee.
Yeah, the Bee is a good one.
Yeah, that's a good song. And there's another one on there that I was like, oh, that's not
bad. The song with Annika is pretty good. It's not my favorite on the album.
It's not mine either.
There's a song right now. It's like there's like this keyboard riff that they're using in it. I got to look up the name of the track. It's like in about the middle of the album. So talk about more about the show. What about those douche bros that got in front of us?
So I was.
I don't think anyone knows about those douche.
We're
bros.
About to.
We're, yeah, they're about to find out.
We're putting them on blast.
All right, and maybe we can do this as a kind of PSA.
Sure.
All right. Can we?
Yeah.
Can we do that? The theme of the PSA is
don't be
an inconsiderate jerk and know how to read a room.
Yeah.
Those are the two lessons here. So. This show was at Scout Bar in Houston, which is not a large venue. This is a, we'll call it cozy. Scout Bar is a cozy place.
Yeah.
Right?
I've seen a couple of, really, really crowded shows at Scout Bar. The last one was Sabaton last year.
I heard Sabaton
so
was ridiculous.
You had to sort of stand sideways to even see the stage.
Mm-hmm.
It was, we had to leave. And then the other time was Testament at that club.
God, I can't imagine Testament playing there.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I got the interview. It was a cool night because I did get the interview and like we got to hang out on the in the back of the venue. There's like this little lake and stuff like that. It's just fun. Back to Douche Bros.
So you and I, Carrie, were standing kind of shoulder to shoulder, and then like Sean the Metal Pigeon was behind us and John was behind to the left of me and Kim was behind kind of to the right of you. And so that was kind of our group
there.
And
they
and
had
we
tables
were, like,
out too. So
right. And so there were tables like right behind us.
And I brought my wife Kim out because like she had hurt her foot and she was sitting in the back. So I was able to get her up close enough to the stage and let her sit in a chair and all that mm-hmm. too.
Right. And but even so, even at the table point of the room, we're only like six people deep away from the stage yeah. at that point. Like
right.
that's how small a space we're talking about, right? So this guy comes up, I don't know, about a, you know, third of the way through the performance for Insomnium. Dude comes up and stands like right in front of me and Carrie.
No, but it was way before that. It was like
it
the
way
second
before
or third,
third?
Song.
Was
yeah.
it that early on?
Yeah.
Man.
Because he was off to my right at first. And I'm like, okay, this guy is... I was watching him at that point.
Okay, so you were already aware of
I was
him.
Already aware. He was on okay. my radar. And then he gets in right in front of us. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
I even poked him a few times. And he's like, fuck yeah. I'm like, dude, that's not what I'm telling you.
Yeah. He's thrashing around, kind of in his own space, being a little obnoxious, but he's not really, like, hurting anybody.
He kept on throwing his arm back, so I was very...
Yeah, he was, like, kind of getting close. And this... Given the tightness of space in the venue and just kind of the genre, like
it's not a
standing
cannibal
in
corpse
play, it's not a Cannibal Corpse show. It's not a Lamb of God show.
Right.
This is Insomnium playing an intimate venue. And so there's people are headbanging, they're, you know, throwing fists and horns in the air and, you know, moving around a little bit. This guy was a little bit more animated than all that.
He was into it.
He was really into it, which is cool.
Nothing
be into
wrong with
it.
People getting
be into
it.
Yeah. I mean, when I go see Opeth and they play Deliverance, I kind of freak out a little bit. I'm that guy for a moment.
I'm not that guy for the last 3.5 minutes of the song.
But he's really getting into it, and Carrie and I are kind of giving each other side eye, like, hey, we're going to have to keep an eye on this dude.
Yeah.
He's gonna be so the other thing that he's doing, besides just being sort of annoying at this point, it gets worse. The other thing that he does is pulls his phone out and starts taking video up above his head
yep.
of the concert for like extended periods of time. Don't do that shit. That's my public service announcement. Fucking stop.
Let me piggyback on that public service announcement. Not at a concert, but if you go to Disney or a theme park and you bring out your fucking iPad to film a concert, to film like
film
a
the
parade
fireworks.
Or something, or the fireworks in front of me. Move that shit.
So if you want to, first of all, your film on your phone, it's going to suck. Like, no one's going to watch it. You're never going to watch it again.
I don't know. I watched that one Ghost concert. It was all iPhone footage.
Not bad.
It wasn't bad.
I, the one from Houston?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I watched
it
too.
It wasn't that bad.
So
thankfully, I couldn't go to the show, but I saw it for free.
So when you're also thrashing around and not paying attention to
yeah,
what you're
again,
filming,
that makes sense.
Your
yeah.
video's going to suck.
Yes.
Okay?
And he was at one point when he was filming, he was fucking thrashing around and going, yeah, like that, moving his hand.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it,
dude,
man.
You're
not getting anything. All you're doing is annoying the people around you. Because I don't want to... go to a show and then watch that show through your fucking phone screen.
And another, okay.
So if you want to film,
yeah.
Take a couple of photos, hold your phone up, grab a couple of shots, grab a couple seconds of film, cool, whatever. I done.
Want to film?
Stand
far back. Get a better view.
Right. Don't do the stand for a long period and film thing unless you want to hold your phone in front of your own face.
Right.
Then go to town. I don't care. But don't get in my way.
Another PSA at a concert, if you are more than 6 feet away from the stage, don't turn your light on your phone because it's
yes.
not going to fucking help you.
Yes. That's the other part. Okay, so he was doing that shit, being obnoxious, being, you know, kind of...
The worst concert goer ever.
Yes.
So he's being generally obnoxious but not really hurting anybody. He's not really causing major problems. But I still was wishing this guy would go away.
Right.
So there's a song break, and as they're starting the next song, he turns around like he's going to walk back towards like the bar or something.
Yeah.
Right. Did you read that? That's what he was trying to do.
I thought so.
Right. So he looks like he's going to walk back towards the bar, and he steps right between me and Carrie. And so I'm like, thank God this guy's leaving. And so I pivot to let the guy go by me. And he hits me shoulder to shoulder, right?
But then he
stayed there and changed trajectory. And now he's coming into me. And he grabs a hold of me and starts pushing me through the crowd. He pushes. Yeah,
that's liable for a fight.
He pushes me through the crowd. He's decided that it's mosh time, and that me and him are going to start the pit. Right. I did not agree to any of this.
It was not pre-planned.
So he got me one by surprise and two off balance because I had pivoted to let him by. So he's got me. Like, he has the advantage on me, and he's pushing me into and through people who are just trying to watch the fucking concert, man. And everyone's around us being all, what the fuck are you doing? This guy won't let go of me.
Everyone's like, hey, get a hold of your friend.
Right. And so finally, he pushes me a good, 15 feet something? And finally, I was able to get my feet under me enough that I was able to get him off of me. And I kind of gave him a quick jab and shoved him off of me, threw a big middle finger in his face and told him to fuck off. Walked back over. Continue watching the show. He walks back and stands right back in the same fucking place.
And then his dude bro friend shows up a few minutes later.
Like two songs later, his friend shows up.
And they decided they wanted to mosh again.
Mm-hmm. So they start hammering into each other. And then soon
enough.
Like
they normally do.
Right, probably.
I'm sure.
And they start, doing this thing. And then they start bumping into the people around them. They're like sloshing people's drinks and like doing all this shit.
Yeah, I got beer spilled on me.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's not a concert unless you get beer spilled on you.
Apparently.
And so seeing where this is going and not wanting to put up with this shit again, I just stepped in between them and put my arms out. And I looked on one side and said, no.
You Jurassic Park.
And I looked at the other guy and I went,
he did.
No. No, I did. Jurassic World. Chris Pratt, Jurassic World. Keep the raptors at bay.
You absolutely did.
I stepped in between them, and I was like, no, you're not going to fucking do this.
All you need is a clicker in your hand.
Yep. And I guess that worked.
It worked?
Yep.
They stopped?
Yeah. And then the second dude bro, like, he left after that song.
He was whispering something to you, or you were telling him something.
Because he leaned into me and he goes, because I put my finger up and I was like, no. And he goes, what? And I said, you're not doing this. He goes, we're not doing this, man? And I said, no, you're fucking not doing this. I said, if you want to do this, take it somewhere else.
Yeah, right? That's like your point.
And that's what he didn't, that's where the communication fell apart. Because he's like, what? I said, if you want to do it, go somewhere else and do it. And he couldn't hear what I was saying. And so finally I was like, forget it. Don't worry about it.
One of our friends came and stood right next to me. He gave me that nod. He's like, all right, I got your back, dude. All right, let's do it.
And so he left. The second dude, he left after another
Dave.
Song or two. I know. But the thing is nobody wanted this.
No.
Know
your crowd.
The crowd.
Your situation.
Right. So, like, I'm not anti-mosh pit.
No.
But read a fucking room, guy. Nobody here wants this. It's not like the crowd is just standing around going, man, this needs something. And they needed your rocket scientist ass to show up and be like, mosh pit, that's what y'all fuckers need.
Yeah.
Like, nobody was doing that.
It's not a Slayer show, not a Cannibal Corpse show, where if you're standing in that area in front of the stage, you need to expect that.
Right.
But
yeah, anyway, like, learn to read a room. At one point later in the show, the guy had sort of mellowed out after a while, and he leaned back to me, and he goes, hey, man, if I spilled your beer, I didn't mean to. One, I wasn't drinking to begin with. Two, missed the point entirely. Like,
yeah, you're like, yeah, man, you spilled all my beers.
You should buy me some
more
beer. So, I, you know what? I'm not going to end on the note about the shithead. We're going to go back in time to the prior to the show.
Yeah.
When I was walking up to the venue.
All right.
Guy, I believe his
name. We showed up at the same time.
And walking up to the door, guy I had never met before. I think he said his name was Mike. There's very little chance he's listening to this now, but... Thank you, Mike.
And yeah, we got to thank somebody else too.
He comes up to me, just kind of. We happen to be in the same place at the same time, and he goes, "Hey, dude, do you have a ticket to the show yet?" And I said, "No, I was just going to buy one at the door." And he goes, "Well, I won a drawing for two tickets. Basically, I'm on the guest list for two people." He said, "And if I go in by myself, I'm going to lose the other ticket. So if you want to come in with me, I'll get you in for free." So I got to go to the show for free.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, appreciate it. Metal Sucks.
There you go.
That was who he won the contest through.
That's the only thanks we'll ever give to Metal Sucks.
Thanks, Metal Sucks.
Yeah, I got, I bought my tickets back in November. Enter the Vault, great website. They do a lot of these small tours like this, but They usually have really low, like, fees and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they always run a Black Friday special. So this is when the Black Friday special they bought last year. So the tickets were half off. So it only cost me $8.50 each to buy these tickets.
Nice.
And then I also bought tickets for Hammerfall next week.
Mm-hmm.
I got my VIP ticket. It was like $40.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. Next Wednesday, I get to go see Hammerfall and Flotsam and Jetsam was a VIP meet and greet and all that.
Cool. I may be on that one.
You should come.
I may be on it right now.
I'm going to have to, figure out my schedule to, I don't even know what time like the meet and greet is going to be yet. Probably a couple hours before the door opens.
I went to another concert.
You went to another concert?
Yeah.
Oh, it's right. You did. I knew about this one.
I went to Styx.
Yeah.
With Joan Jett and Tesla.
Yeah.
I don't know a band named Tesla.
You've never heard
Tesla before?
Tesla are awesome, dude.
Never heard of them.
Like, great. Sign, Take Away the Sign?
Well,
you know that
maybe.
Song, at least?
It sounds familiar.
That's one of their, like,
they're
most well-known.
Great rock band.
The name's not ringing a bell, but I might know that song.
There's songs that you probably know.
Okay.
You know the character, though.
I do know Tesla. Yeah. The Nikola Tesla.
Yeah, I wonder how you knew that.
Well, I write a comic book about him.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Kind of. Yeah. Sort of. He's kind of in it. Yeah. Not really, but sort of.
You know, I've never seen Tesla live. I've seen...
He's dead, dude.
It's true. I've never seen the band Tesla live. I've not seen this iteration of Styx, but I saw Dennis DeYoung at Epcot a couple years ago when we were there.
Did they do Come Sail Away?
Of course they did Come Sail Away.
The 10-minute song.
Did they have Cartman on screen doing it?
That would have been awesome.
No, they did not.
I have seen Joan Jett twice. I saw Joan Jett. Who was it with? Cheap Trick and Heart? And then a couple years ago when we were in California, we went to Jimmy Kimmel, and she was like the live performance, which was cool.
It was cool to get to see her. She's, you know, kind of a rock and roll legend and all that.
She was on a fun show.
Yeah, it was cool. I'm glad I got the opportunity to see her. I'm glad I got the opportunity to see Tesla.
How were they?
They were pretty solid. You know, like, I mean, it wasn't like the greatest thing in the world, but like
they put out a couple of albums like mid-2000s, like 2008-ish. Mm-hmm. They did cover a couple of cover albums, but they did a regular album. Like, I think it was Enter Into the Now, maybe.
Okay.
Really good album.
Is it?
Yeah.
Catchy. They were fun. I didn't see all of their set. We had gone to get drinks in the lounge at the Cynthia Woods.
Did you find the signs?
Because the drinks are cheaper in the lounge than they are outside. Outside, beer started at $13.
That's why I don't drink beer.
Fuck that.
Water is not any cheaper anyway.
It's probably not.
But you can't, the drinks that you buy in the lounge, you can't take outside of the lounge. We missed the first part of Tesla's set because we were still in the lounge. But what I saw of them, like, it was cool. I enjoyed it. Had a good time. So I guess the whole thing is, this is not a show that I probably would have been at if it was just me. Like, I'm not a huge fan of any of these bands.
The older I've got, the more I've gotten into some of that, like, Styx and, like, Yes and that type of genre.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten more into that kind of stuff.
So
classic prog rock.
This was kind of like a family sort of a deal.
Yeah.
My wife grew up listening to Styx with her dad, and he was there. And
that's cool.
My wife sings Come Sail Away as a lullaby to our kids.
That's cute.
And so, like, our older daughter, she wanted to go see Styx Come Sail Away. And so she came. It was kind of this whole family event.
Oh, cool.
But I got to say, Styx puts on a hell of a good show.
Yeah.
It was a great performance. So I guess another bit
Tommy Shaw?
Tommy Shaw, yeah.
Who else is in the band, you know?
Fuck, I don't remember all their names. You can look it up. I know all the information's there.
I know there's two. I guess there's two. No, I'm not looking up the River Styx. I guess there's two different versions of the band sort of going on. But Dennis DeYoung's Styx, and then this version.
And he was the keyboard player, and then Tommy Shaw is one of the guitar players.
Yeah,
Who
was also in Damn Yankees.
Yeah, right.
I used to really be into them for some reason when they first came out. I don't know why. Well, I never liked really Ted Nugent, but for some reason I like Damn Yankees.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it was fun. I really enjoyed the show. They're fantastic performers. There's a reason that they've been around doing this as long as they have. They put on a hell of a good show. I got to give it to them. So
one of my best friends loves Styx.
Yeah.
Like with a scary passion.
There was that guy might have been in front of us at the show. there was a guy in front and to the right of us at the show who was we were in the under the cover with the seats and everything. Okay. We weren't on the lawn. And there was a guy in one of the seats in front and to the right of us, and as soon as Styx started, he stood up and stepped out into the aisle. And he was like super woo! Animated. Oh, he was super animated, and he sang every word to every song.
Wow!
And not just sang; he was emoting like he was in a music video.
Was he like a younger guy?
Yeah.
Oh, see, it might have been my friend.
It might have been their friend. He was.
What's your friend's name?
Andrew.
Andrew.
How old is Andrew?
He's my age.
Yeah, this guy was about our age. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Andrew loves Styx with a weird passion.
I wonder. You'll have to see if you can find a photo of him or something. Because this dude, like I said, emoting like he's in a music video to every song. He was into it, man.
You know, so I went to a concert venue last week, but I didn't see a concert.
But, psst.
What'd you see?
I went to WWE Raw.
Did you really?
I did. So,
when did you become a wrestling fan?
I'm not really a wrestling fan, but my good buddy Mark, who was at our live show at Comicpalooza,
mm-hmm.
I've known him since like pretty much junior high. He's like texted me the day before. He's like, "Hey, you guys want to go to see wrestling?" I was like,
"Wrestling."
And I know Kim is been into wrestling before, so he got us into like this one of the suites upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what, if she wants to go, I'll go. I mean, I've been to a wrestling live show before, and I know what you're getting into, and it's fun. It's not really my thing.
Being there would be more fun for me than watching it on
actually,
TV.
It's a little
did
different.
Did The Rock show up?
No, The Rock was not there.
Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Kurt Angle showed up.
No, I don't know.
Ronda Rousey showed up.
I know who that is.
Yeah, who else was there? People I don't know. One of the Hardy Brothers. Yeah. We got to hang out in the suite and drink free alcohol and watch wrestling and pay way too much for a hot dog. $12 hot dog.
Yep.
Speaking about beer,
much for a hot dog.
It wasn't that guy, was it?
It was not that guy.
Oh, okay.
No, it was not.
Okay.
We're comparing friends.
Andrew's off the hook this time.
But he was probably doing the same thing.
Probably.
Let's talk about a movie real quick.
What?
We all went to this movie.
No, we didn't. We didn't go to the movies.
We did.
Not together.
I know you've seen a couple movies.
I did see a couple movies.
But we haven't gone to this movie together. We went solo.
Oh! But,
with our significant others.
Yeah.
You saw it, right, Dave?
We didn't go solo.
So, I don't want to spend too much time on it because we do have a topic to get to and all that, but...
Shh, we got all the time in the world.
I'm going to pick you first.
Me first.
George, what was your opinion on Solo? I've actually been really wanting to know this.
My opinion? Really? Yeah. Well, I kind of gave a precursor on Facebook. I told people that I thought it was fairly... I'll just say it. I saw the movie not expecting a lot. As anyone knows me knows that I hated Rogue One. I thought it was a piece of shit film. The only saving grace of Rogue One is because it ride on pure nostalgia in the last 15 minutes. So comes the saying with this one. I didn't think I was going to enjoy Solo very much, but it turned out it's pretty damn fun. Despite all its flaws and despite how predictable and how damaging it is to A New Hope, it's so goddamn charming.
Okay, I have a couple things I want to say about that, but yeah, I know what you're going on that.
I don't. I'm curious.
It is. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it's fun.
I enjoyed it more than I thought it was going to be. It's not a great movie. It's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
I wonder how much...
Chewie and Han saved the movie.
I wonder how much changed when Ron Howard came on board.
From what I understand, Ron Howard shot 70% of the movie and used the original script that the...
Kasdan.
The Kasdan script,
right.
But it was the Lord Miller script.
Right.
They were shooting the same script. They just shot it differently. They had to reshoot major scenes. That's why the bad guy was originally going to be the dude from The Wire, the black dude with the scar. I forget his name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they brought in Paul Bettany?
Yeah, they probably brought in Paul Bettany. And you could tell Paul Bettany was only there for a day or two because it's all in one location. And I don't know. I liked it. It's, you know, there's a lot of things wrong with it. There's a lot of things I would have loved differently or done differently. But watching it, I had so much fucking fun watching it. I hated the robot. I thought the robot was kind of meh.
And, okay.
LV3 or whatever her name,
yeah,
name is.
L337.
L337, thank you. Lando was fun.
Lando Glover was great. He was great.
They need to offer Donald Glover a Lando movie, like, right now.
Well, the problem is like, there's really nothing to Lando. Like, I like Lando in the movie, but I felt like he was just doing an impersonation, which is what that role needed to be.
A little bit. So the guy who plays Solo, I can't think of his name.
Emmerich something.
So I heard a lot of complaints about him not being a good Han Solo.
See, I thought he was great. Yeah.
Okay, he wasn't doing a direct impersonation of Harrison Ford.
But he had some mannerisms.
He has inflections and mannerisms that you could tell that, you know, he was a younger version of the character, so not everything was...
Right, but see, that's where your theory kind of falls apart. I think he was kind of like shadowing what A New Hope's Han Solo was supposed to be. Just a little bit slightly more optimistic.
So the main complaint, the only complaint I really have about this movie is the way they handled Chewbacca. It wasn't the way... Okay, so the character was a good guy helping the Alliance or whatever in the prequels. So he was fighting against the Empire and all that. So
Chewie. Uh-huh. Are you talking about like the old canon?
No, it's still canon. The prequels are still canon.
Oh, you're going off of like the Clone Wars show or whatever?
Yeah. No, the TV, the movies.
The movies. Chewbacca was in the prequels.
Was he really?
Yes. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he was at the battle. He was at the battle. No, he was. Chewbacca was at the Battle of Kashyyyk with Yoda.
And he said Chewie?
Yoda refers to him as Chewbacca by name.
All right.
So the first time you see him in this movie, sorry if it was a spoiler for anybody, he's sort of like rabid and like they're trying to imply that he's like killing people and eating people. I'm like, that's not.
He was held prisoner.
Still.
And he just ripped Imperial troopers' arms off.
Well, he does that.
Yeah.
It just character-wise, it didn't really.
You thought
fit
that
for
was
me.
I didn't have a problem
thing?
With that.
I didn't have a problem with that at all. The stupidest thing in the whole movie is how Han Solo got his name. That's the stupidest thing in the movie.
That was kind of goofy.
I was like, that's how they're gonna give his last name? But why? Why not just say my name is Han Solo? That was the stupidest decision ever. One of the Kazans need to be slapped for that one.
Don't know which one it is.
Whoever it was needs to be slapped.
So what are your opinions, Dave?
Largely the same as George, that like I just had a damn good time just sitting there watching the movie.
It was fun
all the way through, yeah. I felt like. I was also not going into this one with high expectations. I expected Donald Glover to be good as Lando.
Right.
He was
good. Looks the part.
He looks just like him. He sounded just like he did his homework on Billy Dee Williams for sure.
Malt liquor. Colt 45.
He was great. I had a couple of problems with it. I felt like I blanked on the actor's name as well. Who played Han, he was one of my main concerns because I don't know him from anything. I haven't seen anything else he's done. So
he's been in a few things.
I know he has.
He was in Hail Caesar. I loved him in Hail Caesar.
That's what I've heard. I've never seen that movie yet.
Hail Caesar, he's hilarious in that movie.
I was concerned about whether or not he was going to be a convincing young Han Solo. And while his was definitely not my favorite performance in the movie, I felt like he held his own. I thought he did a pretty good job. He got some of the swagger and the smirks and the mannerisms and those kinds of things that y'all talked about. He got some of that. The only thing that really kind of bothered me, and it wasn't a huge complaint, is that he didn't have that baritone in his voice like Harrison Ford.
Not yet, at least.
Well, there's 10 years.
Like 10 years.
There's 10 years to go for his other.
He's
going to
smoke
drop.
A lot of cigars. Till the...
Maybe. So he may like
a lot of space cigarettes.
Yeah. So death sticks,
cancer
death
sticks, yeah. Death sticks. There you go.
That was really, you know, a little more baritone might have helped sell me on him a little bit more.
Yeah.
But he did a good job.
Right.
I liked him.
I think I did too. Overall, I really did like him.
My biggest complaint in this whole movie, and it's a really big one, but if the movie wasn't so goddamn charming, I probably would have stuck to my guns. But it's the story throughout. It's a very bland story that how Han met Chewie. How he gets the Millennium Falcon.
I kind of got that.
How he get that jacket. How did he get that blaster?
What's a Kessel Run?
What's a Kessel Run?
I kind of got all that too, but I didn't care while I was watching the movie.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. They made it so charming. You didn't care.
What they did is they had a bullet point list, and they checked them off.
They went through the checklist.
But they did it in a way where you didn't really care.
Right, so that's my also biggest gripe, is that he has the exact same story arc in this movie as he does in A New Hope, the character Han Solo. Like, he starts out with a guy who says he's a bad guy, but really he's a good guy, and does something to help out the Rebel Rebellion.
That's just his character.
Or the Rebellions. That's not his character. In the beginning of A New Hope, that's not who he is. He's in it for the money. He's a smuggler.
Well, again, you've got 10 years between
right.
now and then,
so
for him to become
shouldn't have been outright.
So we have 5 more sequels to look forward to.
We're never going to get a sequel. It bombed at the box office, so
it's
not going to happen.
It doesn't matter.
I don't understand why it did that bad.
Because fanboys
I don't believe
movies.
The fanboys have that much power.
No, they do.
Apparently
look what they did to Kelly Marie Tran recently.
Yeah, but I mean, people...
She played Rose.
Oh, the Asian chick from Last Jedi.
Yeah, she left Instagram because she was being harassed so much by fucking
haters. Did they tell
her
that she should have died?
They're telling her fucking worse things than that, dude.
Oh, like her character should have died in that movie. That would have made a lot more sense.
It's racist shit and it's like sexist remarks. I'm like, dude, if you don't like a movie, it's not her fault. Mm. These fanboys are taking it way too far.
Yeah.
I think I'll agree that they have the power to do that shit. I mean, they did it to what's her name from Ghostbusters and Saturday Night Live.
I think it was reasons why this movie flopped. I think it came out at the wrong time.
I think maybe that was part of it.
It also came out hot off of Avengers Infinity War Deadpool 2.
Yes.
They just right next to each other.
Those are... I could see those as more likely factors.
And it came out on Memorial Day weekend, which is not a huge movie weekend.
They should have kept it. They should have pushed it back.
They should have kept it for Christmas.
For Christmas movies.
Because Star Wars, ever since they had their rebranding with Disney,
they've had a Christmas movie
ruled
every year.
Christmas. Even Rogue One, which is not a fucking good movie, did amazing at Christmas. And the only reason it did good because it was the first of its kind, and it will never do good again. But
when Rogue Two comes out,
see, I found it.
But oops,
I kind of liked that they were going back to the old Lucasfilm model of putting the movie out in May. Like that's how
right.
I saw.
I thought
it
that's what they were trying to go with too. Yeah. But this wasn't the movie to do that with. If they were going to do
Fair
it,
enough.
They should have done it with the episode 9.
You know, I think Infinity War and the Deadpool thing. You're right on the money. Those movies did so well.
Plus, nobody wanted this movie. This is the one Star Wars movie no one was asking for.
What about the big baddie at the end, though? That was pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah.
The one baddie where you had to watch a cartoon show to understand the ending?
Yep.
It's unfair.
No, it's not. You watched the cartoon.
To general audiences, though, that's unfair, because last time anyone's ever saw that character, right, spoiler alerts, it's Darth Maul, by the way.
What?
Yeah, with mechanical legs. Apparently, he survives being split in half from episode 1.
Yeah, because it cauterizes his wounds instantly.
Right.
That's how that works. Didn't you know that?
Apparently so. And they didn't really...
Lightsabers have medicinal purposes,
see,
too.
See, this movie should have been, like... I know what they were trying to do. What they're trying to do is set up, like, to be a pseudo-trilogy, like a Han Solo trilogy, where they do the Han Solo movie, and then they do the Boba Fett movie, where it's going to be where Han Solo meets Boba Fett in some kind of fashion. And then they're going to do a third movie where it's Han and Chewie adventures or something. That, I bet you anything you want, that was their plan going into this. And Lawrence Kasdan,
I'm still okay with a Boba Fett movie.
Oh, I am too, especially with James Mangold doing it.
Yes.
Fuck yeah. I think that's a great idea, because that would be the coolest Western ever. Now they just don't need to set it in the past. They need to take place right after Return of the Jedi. That's where it needs to take place.
Him crawling out of the Sarlacc pit?
Yes. That's where it needs to take place. Or someone finds the equipment and dons the persona of Boba Fett.
It's Dengar. Dengar becomes Boba Fett.
I don't know if he can fit in the... He's a little humpy.
All right, well, so anyway,
Dengar found Boba Fett.
I just
want to
say this real quick.
That's true.
I just wanted to say what I would do different with Han Solo. What I would have done differently is open the movie differently. It should have been a personal story about a boy and his dad losing his dad because he's a bad gambler. And I would open the movie with him playing like Starship on a unbuilt Millennium Falcon. Because his dad used to build Millennium Falcons. He said that in the line in the movie.
Yeah, he did.
And that would have been a great opening. And it would also inherit why Han Solo is in love with his ship so much. And then also,
he's Carillion. That's all that matters.
No. And then there's also another line which we should have seen. There's a couple of lines he said in the movie that we should have seen instead of been told. Was he does this really cool trick during the Kessel Run that saves their lives. That should have been the same trick that maybe his father or his dad's friend died, and maybe that's why he lost the gambling race, and maybe that's why his father was taken away and he was put up for on the streets. That's how the movie should have started. Make it personal. It wasn't personal enough.
But there was a car chase.
And then I wanted to like
just ignore you completely.
I wanted to like the relationship between him and Emilia Clarke, but I just didn't feel it between them.
I never really did either.
Yeah.
He had a relationship with her. I don't think she had one with him.
Well,
she was just her way out.
I'll say this though. I'll watch Paul Bettany in damn near anything.
Yeah,
I find
he's
him
enjoyable.
He's
isn't
a
he?
Delight to watch. He just is.
And then also. While he was in the military, there should have been a montage of him being in the military and fucking up.
Yeah.
And showing him getting kicked out of the military.
What about Woody Harrelson in the movie?
Oh, he was good.
He was good.
I thought they wasted, what's her face, who played his wife?
Sandy Newton.
Sandy Newton.
Yeah. She.
What a waste of character.
Yeah, I sort of felt like that.
Like, why does she need to blow it up? I didn't get it.
I really liked that whole sequence, though.
The train sequence was cool. Why is there trains in a world where they have flying machines?
Why do we have trains now?
We have flying machines.
We have flying machines.
It's cheaper, I guess.
Exactly. Yes,
it is.
They didn't explain that very well.
They don't like, have
they
to.
They could
have
just put it on a spaceship. They got spaceships, goddammit. Why do they need a train? But anyway, that's just nitpicking. I loved, what was it, Alpha Nest or Nymphet's Nest?
What was that?
The chick with the robot head. And the cool gear, and they played like Akira music when she showed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No one else thought that? It sounded like the soundtrack from Akira when she showed up?
I guess it didn't strike me.
Did you ever seen Akira?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
What about the Rio guy, the little monkey dude on his crew?
I mean, he looked cool, but you know that was, what's his face?
Jon Favreau.
Jon Favreau, yeah.
I had to look that up after the movie because it was bugging the shit out of me. I'm like, I know that voice, but I couldn't place it.
Yeah, I didn't understand why Thandie Newton blew herself up. Like, what would have happened if the train would have showed up? Nothing different, right? I just thought she died in vain.
They had to...
No, she died on a train.
Boom. Psst.
They had to blow up the bridge. They had to blow it up to get the car off of it.
Yeah.
Right? But they got the car off... Anyway, without blowing the bridge.
No, they got the car off because she blew up the bridge.
Okay.
Because she blows up the bridge, the train cars start falling into the abyss or whatever, and then the car that they're after slides off the rail, and now they can carry it away.
Okay. And nobody ever says there's a passenger train, too.
Is it? Oh.
The people die. And,
another. Now it seems like I'm just shitting all over this movie, but another complaint that I had that some of the...
Well, you are.
Some of the action sequences didn't really seem exciting. Like, I didn't feel excited. Like, the train thing looked cool, but I wasn't like on the edge of my seat, like, oh man, anything could happen at any minute, because they did the stupid fake out with Chewie almost dying, which was stupid. And then also the whole Kessel Run thing I thought was kind of weird.
I enjoyed the Kessel Run. I liked the giant Azathoth monster in the
Yeah.
I liked it.
It reminded me a lot of an episode in Rebels, so I think that's why I was like, oh, I've seen this before.
I think so, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
And then also, like, another thing, like the robot, what's her name?
L337.
Yeah, yeah. She should have been, like, infatuated with Han Solo. So, like, when they take her brain out and put it in the ship, Falcon. It would make a lot more sense why she likes him more than Lando.
I thought that I liked that character. I would have liked to have seen more of her, I think.
I didn't really like the robot rebellion thing.
To me, that makes complete sense in this universe.
It makes sense, but I don't know. It feels wrong that they took her consciousness and put her in a robot unwillingly and didn't ask her. So now she's forever stuck in this spaceship.
No, but I think that makes for kind of cool implications, though. Like, is it fucked up? Maybe it is. I think that's a valid question. And I think that adding that dimension, and so, but then, you know, you get into things like where in, like, Empire Strikes Back, when C-3PO is supposed to be fixing the hyperdrive, and he reports back, he says, I don't know where your ship learned to communicate, but she has a most peculiar dialect.
Right.
Like, that was kind of like a less obvious tie into that, which I thought was cool. I think it makes that, I felt like it made that more interesting. And the question that you bring up is it okay, especially for a droid who's so concerned with her own civil rights?
Right.
Is
and it obviously okay, thinks like has her own thinking power. And
is it okay to insert her consciousness into the ship
forever?
Forever. Yeah. I don't know. Like, that's a perfectly valid point.
And then, like, why can't they just take her
droid
consciousness
life
out later?
I suppose they could.
Hashtag droid lives matter.
Yeah. That's exactly what they wanted. It's like a robot rebellion.
I think that's great, though. I think that makes total sense in a Star Wars universe, that you where you have all these other rebels, and then you have sentient machines. Why would they not be demanding?
Not want to be slaves.
Right.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Sure.
So all I'm going to say, let's wrap it up. I do want to see Solo again in the theater. I think it'll be another fun movie to see.
I wouldn't see it in the theater again, but I'll probably buy it during Black Friday.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because no one's going to buy it, so it's going to go on sale pretty quickly.
So it's came out, what, May, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be on Blu-ray by September.
Or earlier.
Maybe August?
Maybe August.
Yeah.
They're going to have to try to make their money back as much as possible.
Yep. So, yeah, by Black Friday it'll be on sale. You're right.
You got to remember, this is the most expensive Star Wars movie to date, and the biggest flop to date.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, let's move on to our topic. We have some E3 discussion to talk about, and we have some metal to listen to, so we'll be right back.
Nobody wanted to ask me what I've been up to.
Welcome back to the show. It's time to get into some E3 geekery right now. So, did you guys watch any of the press conferences or pay attention?
I watched the only one I cared about.
Bethesda. Yeah, I don't know that.
I didn't watch any of the press conferences, but I did watch all the trailers and game demos.
Okay.
Or all the game demos that I cared
about. We watched the press conferences, and Microsoft did pretty well. PlayStation was just fucking weird.
Why was it weird?
I mean, okay,
the flu thing was weird to you?
So I know what they were going for, but that feels like
setting,
something...
They were making a scene.
Right, but it feels like something that would only work if you were there. So when it turned into a live show like this, having to spend 15 minutes away from the show with these talking heads didn't quite work.
Okay.
It was just weird and awkward, especially whoever they used to.
Maybe they just don't have good people on camera.
Yeah, they're bad. But I mean, maybe if they had better people, it would have been a different story. I don't know.
I've read everywhere people are complaining about the flute guy and the composer from Last of Us.
Yeah,
which I had no problem. I watched both of those, and yeah. I thought they were both fantastic. I'm a big fan of the composer from Last of Us. I think he's a brilliant songwriter and composer.
So. It was a little awkward, but it wasn't as awkward as Andrew W.K. at the was it EA? Which one was that?
No, he was at the Bethesda one.
Bethesda, that's what it was.
But it was. I think what made it awkward was people didn't know how to react to him.
The audience reaction shots were fucking priceless.
It was like, do I clap or...
you could look, about 8 out of 10 people in that audience were like, what the fuck is going on? And then there's a couple of people that sort of headbanging.
He's like, oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I like that song, Party. When's he going to play that song?
You know, I thought that was that song until, like, the lyrics are different. I'm like, oh, I guess all of his songs sound exactly the same.
I thought he was a motivational speaker now. I didn't know he made music still.
I didn't either.
Wow.
I remember Donald Tardy from Obituary toured with him for a while.
Really?
Yeah. When Obituary wasn't doing anything.
I've seen Andrew W.K. live... at South by Southwest.
Did you?
Yeah. By accident.
And you lived to tell the tale.
I did live to tell the tale. He didn't smash his face with a microphone like he's famous for, though.
Did he party all the time?
They played that song twice. That's how.
No, I think it was just one version of it, just really long.
No. He played it as the opening song.
Oh, God.
And he played it as the closing song.
I think you have it confused. It was one song the whole time. He just changed lyrics around.
There you go. whatever. I saw a lot of cool trailers.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of our favorite games that we saw that are coming out.
Sure.
There's a lot of really good stuff coming out this year. So, Spider-Man.
I can only name one, which is Spider-Man.
The Shadow of the Tomb Raider is coming out in September as well.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't see a trailer for that. Or the gameplay for that.
So, it looks so good. I love those Tomb Raider games.
Yeah, but it just seems such like a Uncharted ripoff.
No, it is. But I'm okay with that because Uncharted are fucking great.
Yeah, Uncharted is great. And I probably will end up buying it on Xbox.
Yeah. So, Spider-Man comes out in September.
That game is going to rule my life. I can just... I watched, because they came out with 3 game demos, and I watched all 3 of them, and goddamn does it not look cool, just swinging through the city and being Spider-Man. And
Insomniac is one of my favorite developers too, so super looking forward to it. And one of the things that
keep on comparing this game to Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, they did.
I didn't get a chance to play, but it looks cool.
Because one of the interviews, playthroughs I saw, they were like, okay, we have a great Spider-Man game. The first thing they did was the traversal, how you swing around and everything, and then the fighting mechanics. But Insomniac is known for weird and crazy weapons and devices. They're like, how do we build what Insomniac is into a Spider-Man game?
Yeah, so and apparently Peter Parker is going to build suits throughout the game.
He's a scientist now.
Yeah, well,
he's 8 years into his career.
He's been Spider-Man for 8 years, and apparently we're going to meet Miles Morales at some point, which makes me think...
There was a teaser of that in one of the previous
trailers. Yeah. So it makes me think, like, is Miles Morales going to be a playable character at some point, or they're setting him up for the sequel, which... Undoubtedly, they're going to make a Spider-Man 2 game.
Yeah.
This game looks awesome. I'm going to pre-order it pretty soon.
Me too.
And I'm going to get the biggest version you can get. I will pay through the nose for this game.
The collector's edition?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on board with that.
I'm going to be so ashamed of myself after I'm done buying it.
I am going to have to pre-order it before my Gamer Club unlock expires in November.
Mine already expired.
Did it?
Yeah. Thinking about re-upping it, but I don't know. Why?
You can't. Gamers Club Unlocked is gone.
Is it really?
They turned it off.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's gone. If you
Mine expired last month.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
If you are, like... So they're not going to cancel you until your time is up. So some people that are still good till next year, you know?
But, so I can pre-order mine through you, right?
Yeah.
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 And I'll just give you money for it.
Yep.
There you go.
You can do it that way.
What about you, Dave? Any trailers you were... besides your Bethesda one?
Let's get it. We'll talk about Bethesda.
All I have to talk about is Bethesda.
Dave is a Bethesda fanboy.
We like Bethesda in my house.
Yes.
We've come to the conclusion that Bethesda basically runs all of our favorite properties at this point. So,
okay, so Elder Scrolls, Fallout, what else?
Doom.
Oh, Doom? I didn't realize Doom was a Bethesda game.
Id through them?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, they publish for Id. No.
That's why they have the Doom trailer.
I have yet to play a Wolfenstein game, but I have watched someone play a Wolfenstein game.
I've been playing them since Wolfenstein 3D.
Has Bethesda been with them since the beginning?
No. They were... Id was put out via Apogee, was their publisher back then.
All right.
The Wolfenstein New Order, that was kind of around that time.
Okay.
It may go further back than that. It may go back to Wolfenstein from 2009, but I'm not sure.
Excited for anything Bethesda's.
So the best thing that I saw was the 3 seconds of announcing that Elder Scrolls 6 is happening. About fucking time. But that's legit the most exciting thing that I've seen.
But it's a really expansive game, right?
What do you mean?
It, like, Elder Scrolls, it's a really, really big game.
Yes,
like,
they always are.
Like, it takes, like, 10 years to play it.
Yes.
So it makes sense why it's taken so long to come out.
So what about Fallout 76?
Well, the I'll get to that.
Okay.
But the issue was... And they joked about it during the press conference because they did the whole Todd Howard, when he came out, he made this joke about how we know what you've been looking forward to most. We're hearing it from you. And so we decided to show you here the next venue that you'll be able to play Skyrim. And because that's the big joke is Bethesda keeps putting out Skyrim. Mm-hmm. It's like... fucking hell, guys. And it was funny. They did the Alexa thing, which, by the way, if you watched that, the Keegan-Michael Key...
that was great.
...was funny. That's a real thing.
We played it tonight.
Yeah, we did. You can actually go and play Skyrim via Alexa. It's kitschy.
There's bugs in it, too.
Yeah, and there's bugs in it. And that was funny.
Purposeful,
I like that.
Bugs, probably. But, what did it say? I can't remember what it said now.
It, like, you came to some crossroads, and Alexa said that due to a physics glitch, there's like a sword spinning freely or something like that. Which I thought that was funny that they put that in there. Bethesda games, especially the open world ones, are notoriously buggy. It's kind of become part of the charm of them, actually.
All right.
Weird shit happens. It's because they're so big. There's so much that goes on in those worlds that something's going to not play right with something else. It's
Makes
just going to happen.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they have re-released Skyrim so many times. And then, instead of doing a sequel to it, they switched over to Elder Scrolls Online, which part of me... has been afraid that Elder Scrolls Online was going to kill the Elder Scrolls franchise. I was genuinely worried about that. Because I want very little to do with Elder Scrolls Online. I don't want... Elder Scrolls is not an MMO. It shouldn't be an MMO. And I stand by that. And I was part of the beta testing for Elder Scrolls Online.
Mm-hmm.
The world looks beautiful. And that's the only reason I would want to play the game, is just to walk around the world and discover lore and visit places that you've only read about and all that kind of stuff. But I don't want to play Elder Scrolls with a bunch of people. That is not what the Elder Scrolls experience is about.
It's a very solo experience.
It is.
Introvert type of game.
At most, and this will factor into what I'm going to talk about with Fallout in a minute, at most, I would like some kind of opt-in... very small party co-op. Maybe you and up to maybe three other people could go dungeon delving together. I could be cool with that. I've thought that might be fun in an Elder Scrolls game. But the MMO thing,
I don't have time for that.
It's not Elder Scrolls to me at that point. So that they announced that they are working on 6... that was the most excited I got through the whole
press
conference.
What do you think the time frame for that game is going to be, like 4 years?
Until it comes out?
Yeah.
Well,
didn't they say 2019?
They didn't give a date on it. But he said that before it comes out, they're going to release Starfield before they release Elder Scrolls 6, which Starfield is their new property that they showed like a short little teaser clip. You didn't see any kind of gameplay stuff. All it did was kind of establish this is a science fiction story.
Isn't Starfield the one where they're teaming up with Nintendo Switch?
No, that's something else.
They talked all they said very, very, very little
about
Starfield.
What's the one that's like with Nintendo Switch and like you had to build a toy to play?
I can't think of the name of it, but the one.
And Star Fox is also a part of it?
Yeah, Star Fox is in that one. Can't remember the name of the game.
It has Star in it, though, right?
Yeah, it does have Star in it.
Yeah, okay.
So this one, all they really did was announce this one. They didn't say anything about what it was going to be, at least not during the press conference.
So you're thinking it's like a Elder Scrolls in space?
It might be. I get the impression it's going to be maybe some of that. I don't really know. I don't know what to expect, but it's exciting that this is like the first completely new property that Bethesda's put out in like 20 years or something like
that. Has it been that long?
Yeah. That's what he said in the press conference, that it's been that long. So
they must be itching at the bit to be doing something new.
So I'm looking forward to what that's going to be. I don't have any ideas really other than it's going to be a science fiction story in space.
And then follow?
So get to there. My second favorite thing that I saw was Doom Eternal. Doom is probably my favorite video game property of all time. Doom 2016 was a fucking blast. I've played through it 3 times, which at this point in life is a lot.
Yeah.
That I've played through a game that many times, a recent game. And the teaser that they showed for Doom Eternal has me super stoked. I'm seeing monsters that I was hoping were going to be in Doom 2016. And they're showing up here, and yep. I'm super stoked for Doom. Fallout 76, I really liked their presentation. I really want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I've got big concerns about Fallout 76. And it ties in with the MMO thing I was talking about in regard to Elder Scrolls Online.
Because you don't want to, like, other people from around the world fuck up your shit?
It's the same thing. So Fallout and Elder Scrolls are, to me, really about you as the player deciding what role you're going to play. You create your character. You decide what kind of character it is.
Hmm.
And then you go and interact with the world. Like, that's really what the game is you interacting with the world. And when you have 1 million people, it ruins that experience. That's what I'm afraid of. That's why I say Elder Scrolls Online isn't an Elder Scrolls game, because you've got hundreds of other people running around doing stuff too.
That's what Fallout 76.
And I'm afraid
they just want that Warcraft money, man.
No one's gonna get it. I'm serious. World of Warcraft has that money locked in. Everybody else that was doing their
business model, a big thing.
Yes,
though? Warcraft. Is it really?
Yes,
I imagine it is. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably not as big as it was 4 years ago. But it's still going.
The movie ruined it.
I'll put it this way.
Like the movie.
Put it this way.
It's okay.
And this is the point I was getting to anyway, is World of Warcraft is really the only major MMO still following that business model.
Right.
Because they're the only ones who've been able to pull it off. The monthly subscription, no one's doing that anymore except them. All the other MMOs have gone to free.
What's that one, that local company in town that does that?
Dreadnought?
Yeah, Dreadnought.
It's not pay to play.
Oh, it's not? No. I thought it was. Never mind.
Most of them have moved to you buy the game software up front, then it's free to play, and then you can buy cosmetic
and stuff.
You
like
can
that.
Buy cosmetic things and buy like DLC sort of, you know, expansion content. All the other MMOs have gone to that model, except for World of Warcraft, because they still have the clout to get away
and
with
it. And they still Blizzard, will charge you another $40 for an expansion.
Yeah. They said repeatedly in the presentation for Fallout 76, which was a cool presentation. I liked it. But they were really trying to emphasize, if you want to play this solo, you can. But it almost turned into a, methinks they do protest too much kind of a thing.
We saw the interview with some, afterwards on IGN.
Yeah.
And he's like, so how is it going to, the interviewer is like, how is it going to play as a single player game when it's a multiplayer world? They didn't have a good answer for
no,
that.
No, they don't really have a good answer. And that's the thing is, when I was talking before about how I thought it would be cool in an Elder Scrolls or a Fallout to have a small, like a four member party co-op thing that you opt into, this is not anything like that. This is by default in a multiplayer world.
Yep.
The only other human characters you will see in the game, from what they're saying, are other players.
Yeah.
There's no NPCs except for, I guess, some of the robots and some of that stuff who are going to be your quest givers or whatever. I got concerns about that. I have a feeling that it's going to turn grief heavy real fast. And that the people who want to just go play a Fallout game are going to have a bad time. I think the people who are inclined to move over from other kinds of shooter games and want to come in and play shooter games in Fallout, I think they're going to take this game over. And the people who want an actual Fallout experience are going to be alienated. That's what I'm afraid of. I want it to be cool. But I'm going to have to see a lot better stuff than what I saw in the presentation.
That comes out this year, right?
Comes out in November. Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. There's a couple of games that I really want to talk about. There's a game that's been 13 years in the making.
Spider-Man.
Not Spider-Man. Finally has a release date for January 29th of 2019.
Is it Halo?
It's Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, release date.
I've never played a single game of those either.
What?
I'm not really big into those Japanese RPG kind of games.
I'm not either. I am not.
That's why I never really got into Final Fantasy.
I'm not a big Final Fantasy guy because I don't like turn-based RPGs like that.
Yeah?
Kingdom Hearts is not like that. It's an action RPG to the core. So, I mean, there's RPG elements in it.
With a lot of, like, Disney Easter eggs.
Well, you go to different Disney worlds and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And you ride a train that's significant.
Yeah, this
Disney
new one, 3, there's a lot of, they're adding Disney parks, like attractions is some
this
of
one
your,
you get
like,
to be, they're doing, the first time they're doing live action stuff too in this one, right?
No.
Yeah, they're doing Pirates of the
Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean is in there, but yeah.
This is the first time they've done that, right?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay, you would know better, because that's what I read somewhere, that this is like, first time they're introducing a live action.
And it looked
property.
Like it was like the end of it at World's End, wasn't it?
It's either that or the what's the one in between?
I can't. Because
Barbossa was in it too.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. I mean, they're adding a Frozen level to it. I mean, all the Disney
Where's
World.
Where's Mickey Mouse?
Cool.
Is he dead?
No, he's there.
I didn't see.
He's part of the organization.
I didn't see the bad organization.
Go to YouTube one day. I know you don't have time to play the game, but you can watch all the cutscenes and makes into a movie. You can catch up.
It's probably
the best way to do it.
I'm just asking, you know, since you played the game.
Mickey's there. It's been 13 years.
I didn't see him in any
of the
trailers.
There was one trailer where he briefly showed up.
Mm.
Yeah.
They should do Epic Mickey again, but good.
I liked the first Epic Mickey. 2 was not good.
I didn't play the second one.
A copy of it, but I haven't played any of it yet.
I'm really looking forward to Kingdom Hearts 3. It's finally going to happen. It's not a miss. It's not a, here's gameplay for something that 13 years later you're going to get to play. Finally coming out.
Hey, man. Takes time to make those games.
That long?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, this game
started...
Do you
make games? Do you know?
I have. I've worked in video game companies.
But you don't make them. And Disney apparently drags their feet when it comes to making video games.
Apparently. It's not Disney. I just think it's dragging their feet. Squeenix.
Is it not a Disney game?
Square Enix.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
What else? What were you excited about?
There's this samurai game called Ghost of Tsushima.
What is it called?
Ghost of Tsushima. Tsushima.
I'm sorry.
Has a T in it. I know that much.
Tsushima?
Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima?
Ghost of Tsushima.
There you go. That's it.
I watched the trailer, and then I watched the gameplay, which looks amazing.
It felt very... It's like a
Hidden Dragon. Felt like I was watching a samurai movie. Yeah. What I felt like I was
Crouching
watching.
Tiger, Hidden Dragon, the game.
No.
Yeah.
Because there's no samurais in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
There is 15 of them, dude.
In Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
It had that style to, like, an actual... Story-driven game.
Do I need to be the one that says samurais are from Japan
yes,
and Crouching
you do,
Tiger, Hidden Dragon
is
China?
Chinese. Yes,
so.
You do need to say that, because I already knew that. But it felt like a Kira Kurosawa movie. That's okay. What it felt like when I was watching it. And I was like, man, I want to watch this.
I need to check that one
that's
out. I didn't hear about it. But
that's
it
the one where they the two samurais, they show up to save somebody and then...
Yeah, they're trying to save a monk and okay. The Mongols are there. And they kill one dude, kills all the Mongols,
and the
lady's like, "Get out of my way, ninja samurai!" And he's like, "I can't let you do that." And then they start fighting, and then Mongols are coming up on behind them.
That looks fun.
It looks awesome. I'm probably gonna.
It says gameplay footage, so
yeah, in quotations.
Yeah, in quotes.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it, but it looks good.
So the next project from CD Projekt Red. Is called Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, yeah, that looks cool, too, but I have no idea what that's going to be. I watched the cinematic trailer.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about it, but I haven't seen anything.
If you haven't played a Witcher game, those are phenomenal. Super detailed, a lot of fun. This one's supposed to be
like
a first...
GTA, but...
Supposed to be
like
first person, right?
Blade Runner. That's what I heard. They say it's going to be a first person Witcher game.
It felt a little Blade Runner, but it felt a little bit more... bright and happier than that
right
world.
Well, like there's two different trailers out. There's one where it takes place at night where like a chick with like a prostitute lady with like giant knives hanging out of her arms and she's all bloody, and that looks all neon and dark and gritty like Blade Runner, but they go the polar opposite, and like I said, they kind of like slap a GTA a feel to it. At least that's what the trailer looked like. I don't know much about the game, but it looks cool.
So let's talk about The Last of Us Part 2.
Okay.
Most unoriginal name ever.
Haven't finished the first one. So
really?
Don't know spoilers. The trailer almost kind of spoiled stuff.
Maybe, yeah, a little bit.
It does.
It looks bloody bit. Great.
Bloody I mean, good.
Bloody good. I mean, it's gruesome as fuck.
Yeah.
Some of the kills that are going on in the game. The weird... intro they had where they're in that barn and they had to recreate it for the people there.
I didn't think that was weird.
It was strange.
The fact that the two girls kissed each other was weird?
No, I didn't say that. I don't care
what
about that.
What was weird about the scene?
No, this is how they had to recreate it for the people
for the
there.
Conference.
Yeah, for the conference.
Well, that wasn't weird either, because that's where the Gustavo was playing on the guitar.
You love Gustavo.
Yeah, he's a good guitarist.
I am definitely looking forward to this game. I love a great narrative-driven game. So, and Last of Us 1 was phenomenal.
Yeah, apparently we're getting a Star Wars narrative-driven game.
By who?
By Davis' favorite game company.
EA's making
EA's
a game,
EA.
Right?
It could be good. You don't know.
You get to use a lightsaber?
At this point, it's on principle. I won't play anything Star Wars that EA puts
Even if
out.
It's good?
Even if it's good, I won't. Fuck EA.
Wow.
I'm serious. I'm not playing anything
that
else
that
EA puts
deep.
Out. It does. I do not like EA. I think their business models are fucked up. They treat their employees like shit. They put out shitty games that are all about the game gets good once you pay us more and more and more and more money. Fuck EA. I'm not playing a Star Wars game from EA.
I wanted to play Battlefront 2, but I didn't want to buy it. I watched the someone play Battlefront 2, the campaign.
Yeah.
It was a good story. It's actually a well-written story, short, but
yeah, it was short.
Pretty good though. Made me feel like, man, that should have been a movie instead of that crappy ass Rogue One movie.
There was a part in that game where it led into The Last Jedi. Something Luke was going for, like a compass or something.
Yeah. Well, Luke was trying to find the original temple, and Kylo Ren was hot on his trail.
But he found something that. In the game that he had in the movie.
Right.
Yeah. They're sort of like tied together, interestingly. What about the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate? Supposedly have every character ever.
I've never played a single Super Smash Brothers game.
I've played less than 10 minutes of Super Smash Brothers ever.
If you're a Nintendo fan, it's definitely fan service. So if you have a Switch,
they're
it's probably
fun.
A non-brainer.
I enjoyed it.
I did kind of get excited about the Mario Party game coming out.
Did you?
Yeah, because it looked fun.
Looks okay.
Gives me a reason to buy another game or get the Switch. I'm playing around with the idea of getting the Switch.
I think you would like it.
Well, the only game I want is Mario Kart, so me and Catherine can play. Because she likes Mario Kart, and she doesn't really play a lot of video games.
I play my Switch a lot.
I know, it's on your table right now. You're playing it right now as you speak.
What? Actually, there's a game I'm playing right now on my Switch called Yoku's Island.
See? People thought I was lying, but I'm telling
you. I'm not playing it right now at the second.
He's lying.
It's on the other systems, too, but I'm a Metroidvania nerd. So it's a weird combination. It's really bright and interesting art style. But so it's a Metroidvania game, but you're like an insect pushing a ball around. So there's pinball elements into the level design.
It sounds real exciting.
It is. It's actually a lot of fun. More fun than it actually should be.
Okay.
It really is.
There was a couple indie games that looked pretty cool, too. I really liked Unraveled 1.
I picked it up. Unraveled 2 is already out. I mean, they're like,
out already?
It came out that same day.
Oh, that's cool.
So
I'm going to wait till it goes on sale.
We haven't played it yet because we're looking for a couch co-op game. And this is part two. There you can play as two characters at the same time.
Yeah. And there's this one that was like really cool. It looked like a comic book. It was all shell shaded, and I don't remember the name of it at all. And I guess it goes to my testament of not. I think it was called like Sable or something like that.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it's like all purple and pink looking, and it looked cool.
I'm looking forward to Ori and the Will of the Wisp. Have you played? Did you play Ori and the Blind Forest?
No.
Phenomenal, beautiful game on Xbox One.
What is it?
It's a Metroidvania style game.
I probably would.
It really is, but it gets very difficult, really hard. But
it's one out of a Metroidvania game, though.
It is. I mean, you don't want it to be too easy. Actually, you know what? Speaking of Castlevania, ever heard of this game coming out called Bloodstained?
No.
Well, it was a Kickstarter type game, and it's supposed to be a Metroidvania game. Mm. And they put just came out it's called Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon. It's a prequel version of what's coming out later, but it was like a Kickstarter, like, I guess, you know, you Kickstarter. So when they stretch goal, I think that's what it was.
Uh-huh.
So they put out this other game, and it's just like Castlevania 2 on the NES, and it's fucking great. You can play as four different characters, and each time your character dies in the game, you like they all have different powers and this kind of stuff, and like one has a whip, one's like a magic user and stuff. If you like Castlevania games,
the Super Nintendo Mini thing came out.
Yeah,
Catherine's brother bought it and let us borrow it because he was moving or whatever. And I tried to play these games. You guys are all hype about it. Must be a nostalgic thing because not a fun game to play.
Like at Castlevania 4, Super Castlevania 4,
whatever was on the Super Nintendo,
Super Castlevania 4,
whatever was on there. I played.
You just suck at games, and
I guess it just wasn't fun to play. I just didn't enjoy it. I got bored for the most part, and it wasn't like I was dying either. It was just I just thought it was kind of boring.
So let's talk about some of the other. We don't have to really talk about them. At least we can sort of like touch on them a little bit.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a new Assassin's Creed coming out, Assassin's Creed Odyssey,
which I'm obligated to play, unfortunately,
because it's set in ancient Greece.
Yes,
because
it's about Greek people. It doesn't even look like an Assassin's Creed movie.
It doesn't really. It looks.
There's no assassin characters. They look like Spartans. They should have just called it Spartan or Odyssey or something like that.
But here's the thing with Assassin's Creed games: no matter how great they're getting and how cool they look, there's still the same problems of Assassin's Creed gameplay.
Which is what?
Getting stuck on things and this thing's not working correctly.
I didn't have that problem with the one that wasn't based in London.
Mm-hmm. I did.
What was it called? The Syndicate or something like that? Or Brotherhood or Syndicate?
I just wish they would say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It makes it easier.
Yeah, really. The one that was in London.
They don't want you to know how many of them there actually are.
Apparently.
There's a lot
there's
of them.
A fucking ton of them.
But
this one is number 10. No, let's not call it 10. It's his Odyssey.
Like the Black Sails one, the where you're a pirate?
4.
Yeah. I like
that one's great. I love
like
that
one a lot. And I like the London one. The London one's really a lot of fun where you get
I'd
to,
actually play to the,
run on top of the trains and
yeah.
jump across the river.
That's where you the male or female character, right?
You can you
flip back and forth. Yeah, that's
yeah.
right. That one was good, yeah, with the syndicate.
I think it's syndicate because you have to like recruit other members into your gang, and more people you recruit, the bigger your game will be or whatever.
So what about that Death Stranding trailer?
Sure. Do you know what's going on?
Nobody knows what's going on with that. It's even the new trailer is like, what? So it's a walking simulator, maybe?
With Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus, yeah.
Yeah.
Naked Norman Reedus
for a little bit, yeah. Apparently he dies and comes back.
And he pulls off his toenail?
Yeah, that was gross.
That was gross.
So, like, they just showed cinematics, right? They didn't show any gameplay.
Yes, maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Who knows? It's hard to tell. Like, it never said gameplay footage
right.
anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
I don't know who Kojima or Hideo Kojima is.
Hideo, you don't know who he is?
No.
He's sure done all the Metal Gear games.
Oh,
he's no longer with Konami, so they took his franchise from him, and now they had like that Metal Gear Survive game that just recently came out, which is like a.
I've
like
never
one
played
of
a single Metal Gear
PUBG
game
games.
In my life.
They're
my
okay.
Life.
I'm not a huge fan, but I played the old Nintendo games, like Metal Gear Solid 2. Or not Metal Gear 2.
That was just Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Back then. And I've played the first
Metal Gear
game.
Solid,
it's,
yeah.
It's hard. No, no. Like the first Metal Gear.
Oh, yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
The NES one, hard as shit.
Yep.
And
two
I played,
was difficult, too.
I think I have a copy of it, but I don't know if I've ever played it. I think I bought it in a lot. Like, I bought a whole bunch of old NES games at once, and I think it was in there. I don't think I've ever put it in. But the only other Metal Gear game that I've played all the way through is the first Metal Gear Solid game.
Yeah, me
it's,
too.
It's really good. I liked that one.
Yeah, I think I played a little bit of 2, but that's
I think I
much.
Played a little bit of 2 as well, but not a ton of it.
I mean, they're good games, but mm-hmm. they're just not totally my style, you know what I mean?
I never touched the single Metal Gear Solid.
Is the remake
game.
Of Resident Evil 2 coming out? That looks pretty cool.
I thought they were coming out with a new one.
It's a remake of 2.
Boring.
So Crackdown 3 got postponed until next year. A lot of the cool games are coming out.
Which been postponed
how many times
since
has Crackdown
2014?
Been postponed then?
3 or 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know one of the podcasts I listened to, the CADcast, they said last year when they played it at E3, it was not ready for prime time. It needs this extra time to be a better game, which I'm okay with that.
I guess.
If it makes it a better game.
You played Crackdown 2?
I did.
It's not a good game.
No.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It was
Crackdown
definitely rushed.
Crackdown 1 is fun. Like, it's stupid, but fun. I saw a trailer for Gears 5.
Yeah. Gears games are always good.
Yeah, I guess so.
What about the Funko Pop Gears game? Did you see that?
No.
There's some weird Funko Gears game coming out. And there's a Gears Tactics game, too. Which I'm not a fan of those type of games, but...
So is it no longer Gears of War?
They just called it Gears 5.
Yeah.
Which was weird.
So, is it just the easy way to keep it abbreviated?
G5?
Yeah, G5.
I don't know.
G5.
Maybe there's no war going on, so... I don't know.
Gears of Peacetime?
Did,
Doesn't have the same ring to
was
it.
Was there any Red Dead 2?
No.
Oh, that's a good point.
That comes out this year.
Yeah, it comes out real soon.
Really November. But there really wasn't any
Rockstar stuff or
no, I sort of feel this year's E3 was a little lackluster. There was no inklings for any kind of new game systems, which is okay for now. There was no hey, our system
I can't afford a new
price
game
change
system right now. So
it was just the games that are the good games that I'm looking forward to are coming out soon. They announced a new Halo game and
with the new engine.
New engine, yeah.
Yeah.
There was nothing for Metroid Prime 4, which
what
I was
that
looking
other,
forward to.
Other Halo Titanfall mashup game.
Halo Wars?
No, it's like Alpha something or...
Hmm?
Starts with an A. You get to drive...
Oh, Anthem?
Anthem. Yeah. It's the creators of Halo are making that game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Halo is not being worked on by the originators of Halo anymore.
No, they sold that shit a long time ago.
Yeah. Anthem looks okay.
It looks like Titanfall.
It's that multiplayer... only aspect that sort of turns me off.
So there's no story whatsoever?
I don't know.
Like Destiny?
Well, Destiny 1 didn't have any story. Two, they sort of shoehorned some single player shit into it, but yeah. Just Cause 4 is coming out. Dying Light 2.
So is Just Cause 4 going to be Just Cause 3, but the same?
But 4.
But it looks the same.
It looks a little better.
Does it?
It's Just Cause is always going to be over the top.
It's just a giant sandbox game.
Pretty much, yeah.
But Just Cause 3 was like I had a lot of fun with Just Cause 3.
If you had fun with it, it's going to be just more of the same.
Yeah, but I don't, why buy it? I can just play Just Cause 3 and do the same thing.
Because there's more. I don't know. It's a sequel, dude. They add shit to it.
Do they?
Yes.
And it didn't sound.
I would imagine they have.
Did Rocksteady Games do
not
anything?
That I saw, no.
So no new Batman game, huh?
No new... Yeah, they're supposed to be working on something, but...
Are they really? Are they working on another... I thought the last Batman game was the last one.
I don't
one.
Think it's a Batman game, though. They haven't announced what it is.
It's a Joker game.
don't joke. It's a Superman game.
Dude, that would be awesome. If they could somehow crack the golden nugget of a perfect Superman game, I'd be all over it.
So, to wrap up, basically, a couple games I'm really looking forward to this year.
Spider-Man.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Those two games, pretty much. I think Spider-Man is going to take over my life for a while.
It really is, yeah.
What's the next game on your list?
Elder Scrolls.
That's coming out soon-ish.
Doom.
Elder Scrolls Blades.
The iPhone game?
Yeah, the mobile game that they announced.
Game. That looks
they
fun.
They were showing it at the press conference, and I was in... Because when they announced Fallout 4 a couple years ago, that was the same... They announced Fallout Shelter, and Fallout Shelter went live while they were talking about it.
That's
so
right,
I'm like,
oh,
I'm going to go play this mobile game right now, but it's not coming out for a couple months. But
Fallout Shelter just came out on the Switch.
I'm pre-registered for it. So when Elder Scrolls Blades comes out, I...
Am I the only one who did not enjoy Fallout Shelter because it just kind of got repetitive after a while?
I stopped playing after a while because of the repetitive nature of it.
I got bored of it really fast.
I was thinking about going back because they've apparently added and changed a bunch of stuff. I may try
it. It just came out on Twitch at the press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but in a more serious way, from stuff that was announced there, Doom Eternal is the one that I'm most immediately excited about.
Yeah.
I called it.
And Spider-Man for me.
And me.
All right. So let's get into some metal. You ready?
I'm always ready.
Let's do it. We are back to the show. We just listened to the George Hates Metal segment of this week.
Mm-hmm.
The band is called Alkaloid. So
I thought it was Altoids.
Not Altoids. No. Doesn't help you. Alkaloid is a band.
It was curiously strong, though.
Oh. Ooh.
don't steal my jokes. So this is a band that was formed by Hans Grossman. After he left Obscura.
Hans Gruber.
Not Hans Gruber. H-A-N-N-E-S. So it's Hannes, probably.
Oh, Hannes.
Maybe.
Johannesburg.
So what are your opinions?
My opinions. It's going to be... We only listened to one song. And what was the name of that one song?
Azixsauce.
Azixsauce. Like the... Lovecraft.
The demon.
Oh. I gotcha. I thought you said sauce.
That's because you're making fun of my lisp now.
I'm not. I just heard it wrong.
Okay.
It sounded really good in the beginning, like the first half of the song before they
got all evil.
Well, they broke off into a completely different sounding song, and like at that point, why not just make it into a separate track and have two separate songs? Because the second half sounded nothing like the first half.
They came back around to the first part.
Not really.
Yeah, it did.
No, not really. It was okay. It was cool. I'll probably listen to it a little more, maybe. I wouldn't seek them out, but I'd probably listen to more.
The vocals didn't bother you?
No, not really.
Okay.
Not as much as some other bands you made me listen to. This one was pretty palatable.
All right.
Yeah.
So
it's the middle of the road. Not bad, not great, not horrible.
All right. That's better than what it could be, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
So what about you, Dave? This is your first time hearing them?
Yeah, I had not heard them before. I am now wondering why that is.
Yes.
I imagine I've seen the name. Like, it seems like something I've come across before.
This is their second album.
Yeah. I'm looking at them on Google Music right now, and I'm seeing it's their second album. And I'm going to be checking out more because I'm thoroughly intrigued by their album titles and song names.
Oh, I knew you would be.
It's all like a mix of like cyberpunk tech stuff with like space traveling sci-fi with weird
Lovecraft
stuff, yeah. And then other esoterica and occultism. The Malkuth Grimoire. I mean,
their original band name was not Alkaloid.
It was Altoids.
No, it was Dave's favorite new band. They changed it at the last minute, though.
I see there's a song on here called Organism.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued by that. Do you know what organs are?
No.
I know what organs are.
It's just not an organism, it's an organism. Organs are, God, who came up with the idea of organs? It was, God damn it, I'm going to forget his name. The crazy ass wrote like Naked Lunch and all that. Burroughs.
David Lynch?
No. He did the movie.
Oh,
I'm talking about the book.
Oh, I don't know.
Burroughs, William S. Burroughs.
Oh, yeah.
He was a magician of sorts. He was into occultism and all kinds of weird stuff. And one of his, I don't know if he came up with the idea, but he talked about organs, which are individual units of sexual energy. And you could, he had methods by which you could collect organs for release in for magical purposes.
That will cost you 12 organs.
So I'm seeing a song title called Organism.
How many dishes? Like, how many dishes do you have to do for one organ?
I don't know.
And they've got interesting. Okay,
a whole series of songs about a Dyson sphere, which a Dyson sphere is
vacuum.
That's where I was going with it.
It's a structure that's built around a star to harness the energy of the star. They have a whole series of songs about a Dyson sphere. All kinds of names from Lovecraft. And
yep.
They have a song called Colonel Panic, which seems a little oddly out of place, but I guess it kind of makes sense.
You know what that is when you get a big bowl of popcorn?
That's not what a Colonel Panic is.
It's not?
No, it's not.
Damn it.
Colonel Panic is when your operating system takes a shit. I saw them many a time when I was working in the tech world.
Yep. My favorite song title from them is Interstellar Boredom. It's a pretty good one. This is a band, I think it's right up your fucking alley, dude, for real.
It seems like it. I enjoyed what I heard.
And I just discovered them recently,
weird.
Too.
It's weird, but like it was pretty cool, and the apparent subject matter that I'm going to be diving into, Chaos Theory and Practice and Rise of the Cephalopods, right next to each other. I'm there. I'm into it.
So Invasion of the Body Snatchers reference?
What?
The cephalopod? That's what they call the things in the
cephalopod cephalopod is an octopus, basically. It's any kind of animal like that. So Cthulhu is kind of a cephalopod in a way.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different word then.
In Rise of the Cephalopod is a 19-minute song.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that one. Almost 20, 19 minutes, 41 seconds.
That's right.
But
couldn't hold out for those extra 10, 15 seconds.
No more room left on the album. Hit the critical limit. But yeah, I really enjoy these guys. I think they're, you know, there's prog elements to them. There's you can say Morbid Angel or Gojira, that type of style. But
well, the way that they're spelling Azathoth is Morbid Angel.
Well, yeah, definitely. So. There's nobody in the band named Trey.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a really good stuff. So Spotify, Google Music, any of that kind of stuff. Check out Alkaloid if you dug what you heard a little bit earlier.
Or not.
Or if you're like George, just don't.
Okay, right.
You guys want to jump right into the end of the show and what's tickling our geek?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's start with you. What's tickling your geek? Yeah.
So what's tickling my geek this week?
I don't know.
There's a couple of things that I'm kind of super excited for. I got a couple of movie tickets. I will be going to see Clue, but it's going to be at the Alamo Draft House, and it's going to be a Clue movie party.
So what does that mean entirely?
So if you've never been to an Alamo Draft House movie party, basically what you do is you pay, and before you get in, they give you all these props, and everybody in the movie theater are fans of this movie as much as you are. And people can quote along and laugh and have a good time.
So it's like a Rocky Horror style
kind
showing,
of,
yeah.
Right. And then there's interactive elements, like I said, when they give you props and they tell you the beginning of the movie, when you should be able to use them, and so on and so forth.
They do special food and drinks and stuff like that, too?
Sometimes. Just depends on the movie. And then Incredibles 2 is come out.
I want to see
or
that.
I guess by the time people have heard this,
it comes
episode,
out the weekend as of we're recording this.
Yeah, so I guess it would already be out, so it's not really exciting for these people to hear it.
But we're still excited for
it. But I'm excited for it. This is like a movie I wanted instead of all those crappy car sequels and Finding Dory.
I've been waiting for Incredibles 2 as long as I've been waiting for Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh. Yeah, it's about the same timeline.
Right? 13
yeah,
years?
Exactly right. Yeah, I wish Pixar would have got their shit together and not made Cars 2 and 3 and Finding Dory and...
Cars 3 I actually enjoyed.
Did you, though?
I did.
God.
It wasn't bad. I kind of liked it.
It was not very
well, speaking
bad.
Of Pixar, John Lasseter...
I didn't know if we were going to talk about this or not.
We can real quick. He's gone at the end of the year.
He's leaving at the end of the year due to unwanted
hugs.
And advancements.
Apparently, he's also not very nice to the female animators
at the house of
Pixar. Well, a lot of women who worked for Pixar have left because of him. Rashida Jones was definitely one of the creators who refused to work with him after a couple of meetings. And, you know, she's not the only one. There's quite a few people who did not have a good time with John Lasseter being around. So there must be something to it, right? He's not leaving for no good reason.
Right.
Yeah, so.
We're not speculating and we're not condoning or saying anything, but we're just saying the facts that he's leaving at the end of the year after he was on a 6-month sabbatical.
Yeah, supposedly they were going to keep him on as a consultant.
Yeah.
But apparently
well, that's his job.
That's
what he's going to do until the end of the year.
Yeah.
So.
Which, you know.
And I think Pete. No, who's taking his
Pete
place?
Doctor,
the doctor
and the lady who made Brave.
Okay.
I don't remember her name.
Jennifer Lee.
Yeah, Jennifer.
Yeah, there you go. Those are the two people that are going to kind of be like the masterheads for Pixar for a while until someone else.
I thought Jennifer Lee was taking over Disney Animation.
Yeah, she is.
Well, them two are going to work together.
Right.
Because Lasseter
was doing both.
He was head of both. He was head of both studios and of the theme parks.
Yeah.
So.
Well, theme parks is now moving into merchandising, so those two are going together, which is weird.
So, yeah, there's an interesting road ahead for Disney Animation.
I don't think there's anything to worry about, really.
Not to say there's anything to worry about. It's just now that there's going to be new blood in the water kind of deal. So I'm interested to see if this is going to spur something new from them. Maybe they're going to try to push out more new ideas instead of...
I would like to see another 2D animated movie.
Or I just don't want to see another sequel from Pixar. Like, how many original movies have they made?
But what about Wreck-It Ralpher?
Yeah, that's not Pixar.
It's Disney animation.
But, you know... I don't know. Like, I'm tired of seeing them retread the same water again. I would like to see them try something new, and this is a good opportunity for them to try.
They've done a lot of new stuff.
I don't disagree with that, but it's sad to see Lasseter go now, and I'll say that not knowing what is going on.
Right.
If he's been misbehaving, then I won't defend him in his misbehavior. But he always seemed like such a good person, especially in that role. He seemed like a genuinely good guy. And so if it comes out that he's not a genuinely good guy, that makes me sad. And that disappoints me greatly. But he was also an incredibly talented and ingenious
creator. He was a good storyteller.
He was a great storyteller.
Yeah.
And so I'm sad to see him go, but if it's the case that he's been behaving in an unbecoming way, that's even more disappointing to me. So
that being said, I'm excited for Incredibles 2.
That took a weird turn.
You did it.
I know.
Yeah. Incredibles 2 comes out this week. So by the time people hear this, it'll already be out. So,
best superhero movie ever.
I really One hope it's good.
Not the sequel, the original.
I love the original. The sequel, I'm kind of scared that they're just going to do the same thing but flip the story. It's the mom's turn to shine.
It is.
And I'm just kind of scared that's all it's going
to
be.
I'm sure there's going to be more to it than that.
I hope there is.
There's got to be.
I really want Jack-Jack to take a bigger role and like be the unsung hero.
They keep making a big deal out of him, so I kind of wonder if that's what they're going to try to do.
He's featured in the trailer quite a bit.
Yeah.
He's part of the you know, California Adventure. They're retheming the whole Paradise Pier into Pixar Pier, which is opening up soon. And the California Screaming roller coaster is being turned into an Incredibles roller coaster.
Oh, cool.
Called the Incredicoaster. So the storyline is Jack-Jack takes over the roller coaster, and that's you're going on the journey with him. And
that's kind of cool.
They're making it more roller coaster narrative style. So it looks cool. Right. I mean, it's one of my favorite rides there. They're not changing the track or any of that kind of stuff, but they're just making it different.
So they're going to add, like, incredible animation stuff?
Well, there's a couple sections in the coaster where you go through, like, these long tubes.
Yeah.
And they're going to have stuff inside that.
No capes.
Well, apparently she's going to be in there.
Yeah. Well, there was another concern that I had. I wish that this movie embraced the 14-year gap that they had. But
yeah, I kind of thought that it would.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it would do the same as well and kind of deal with kids being teenagers and one's like almost an adult.
Right.
But
it's the Simpsons.
Yeah, they apparently never
they never
aged.
Grow up.
Well, it literally picks up right where the last movie left off, from what I understand.
I mean, Jack-Jack is still, like, the same size and everything.
In age, yeah.
So
yeah.
It would have to come, I mean, no more than a month after the...
So do you think they're going to make an Incredibles 3 if this does, like, super well?
I'm sure if it does well.
Yeah, it's only... Would Brad Bird come back for a third one? It was, like, pulling teeth to come have him come back for the second one.
I don't know. So what's tickling your geek right now, Dave?
This band, Altoids.
Altoids.
Arkanoid.
Atnoids. Slayer farewell show on Sunday.
I was going to say that.
I'm really looking forward to that. It will be my second time to see Slayer.
Oh my
I've only
God,
seen
really?
I've only seen them once before. I've seen Lamb of God once before, maybe twice.
I think once before,
and it was with Slayer. They were with Slayer the last time I saw them.
Okay,
I've seen Testament several times.
Definitely,
never seen Anthrax.
What?
So I have never seen Anthrax.
I've seen Anthrax.
So
I even took a picture on Carrie's wall.
I've seen Anthrax the most out of probably any band in
my
life.
Yeah, I'm sure. I bet. I'm looking forward to seeing them.
I've seen Slayer once.
And
I'm looking forward to seeing Behemoth, too.
I am always looking forward to see Behemoth. This will probably be my fourth. I'm not sure. Fourth or fifth time to see Behemoth.
Last time I think I saw them with you at was at House of Blues, right?
Was that the last time? Might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the tour is an awesome tour. It's Testament, Behemoth, Anthrax, and then Lamb of God, and then Slayer. And this is the farewell. I'm going to use air quotes here. The farewell tour for
Slayer.
Well deserved
air quotes.
Because you never know. Whatever. I'm not a huge Lamb of God fan. I know like maybe three, four songs, maybe.
They're a decent live show.
Yeah, I've seen them live.
And Randy Blythe is a cool dude.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I wish there was
a different band in their place? Definitely.
Kinda, yeah.
Like Megadeth would have fit. Oh God.
I mean, but the other part of that though is if you do that, then Behemoth really doesn't make sense there if you do it that way. So
the second leg of the tour is going to have Napalm Death instead of Behemoth.
Is that who it was? I was trying to remember who it was, and for some reason I wanted to say Obituary, and that didn't ring true with me.
That would sort of work too, though.
It would. Obituary would work.
Yeah. I'd rather right now see Behemoth than Napalm Death. I've seen them so many times in my
life. I'm always up to see Behemoth. It's one of my favorite bands.
And I've seen Slayer a lot, too. I think I've seen them almost as much as I've seen Anthrax.
Hmm.
One of my very first, I think I've mentioned this on the show, the very first concert, big show my parents dropped me off at the Summit was Clash of the Titans. So 19...
That's a good movie.
It was, not the remake.
I forgot they remade that movie.
Was it 1990? So it was Alice in Chains, Megadeth, Anthrax, and Slayer. Phenomenal show. That was like my first big metal show, you know? It was awesome.
Kerry was wearing his big man pants that day.
It was called Husky back in the day. That's right.
They're still called Husky, man.
I was 8 in 1990, so.
I was not 8. I was probably 14, 13 or 14 when that show came around.
I was 5.
Shut up. You know what's tickling my geek? Concert. Not Slayer. What Slayer
same
is.
Concert he's going
Hammerfall.
Hammerfall is next week, but this is something coming in September.
Oh, okay.
I bought tickets for it for me and my wife.
My wife.
And I bought a meet and greet, too.
Are you just rolling in the dough?
No, not really.
Apparently, you keep going to all these shows.
So, can you guess what the show is?
Weird Al.
It's not Weird Al.
I don't know who it is.
I will tell you an autographed picture of this person is hanging on my wall.
Danny Elfyson.
No.
Gore.
Say it again.
Elfyson.
No.
That's two L's. Elfyson. What do you want me to say? I don't know. Who is it?
Michael Nesmith from the Monkees.
Oh, cool.
He's doing a tour. He is... put his original...
Is this not his farewell tour? Jesus Christ.
I hope not. His post-Monkees band together, they're calling it Redux. And he did some California dates earlier this year, and he's doing some dates in Texas and surrounding areas. So
yeah, where at?
The Heights Theater, actually.
Oh, cool.
Which I've never been there before.
I'd never heard of it.
It's in the Heights.
Obviously.
Apparently it's a nice little place.
Why not the White Oak Music Hall? That would have been right next to the Heights.
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Probably can't.
It's smaller, more intimate venues, I think.
It also means it couldn't sell out.
Well, I don't know that. I think I have no idea. But I'm excited because I did buy the meet and greet. And there's only 25 of those in each city.
Oh.
So
what are you going to have him sign?
I've been thinking about that. I have a couple things. I was thinking about maybe the drum head that I have signed.
Uh-huh.
If he'll sign that kind of stuff, because he might not. But you get like an 8x10, but I already have one. It's more about meeting him and getting a picture. And I was also thinking maybe the Joe Eisma piece, the Black Metal Monkees piece that I got. Because that would definitely be a very interesting conversation starter for him. I think he would actually dig it. He'd be like, so what's the
or
story on this?
Or be appalled by it.
I don't know.
One or the other.
Maybe. It could go either way. You're right. I don't know. But yeah, I'm super excited for that one. It's September 7th. And we might be going to Chicago that next week to take care of some family situations. And if we go to Chicago, we might go see him again in Chicago and Halloween.
Cool.
Not set in stone yet, but yeah.
Doubling up on the Nesmith, huh?
If he's going to be playing, I'm going to go. I mean, he's playing Dallas and maybe Austin or something like that. Or San Antonio, I can't remember.
Why don't you just follow him around like a Nesmith groupie?
Maybe.
Yeah,
probably. Traveling for shows.
Yeah.
Apparently, this was decided very quickly, but Ghost's second tour this year.
Yep. You going?
I'm going.
Oh, wow.
In Austin.
When is it?
So in... I don't even remember.
It's a weekday, too, isn't it?
It's on a Tuesday, yeah.
Oh, lame. If it was on a weekend, I'll totally go.
But, yeah, it's on a Tuesday. I don't even remember when it is.
They released a video of... What's he going by now? Papa what?
Cardinal Copia.
Cardinal Copia. Him performing on some Swedish TV performance thing with Candlemass doing a cover of Enter Sandman.
I just saw something about that. I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched it either. So I mean, I was like, wow, that's pretty damn interesting. So anything else tickling our geeks?
No,
not a damn thing.
Let's wrap it up then.
Yeah, because our little geeks are cold.
We need to wrap it up. So who wants to do the sponsor?
Dave does.
TantrumCollectibles.com. Put in Metal Geeks at checkout. Get 10. How much is it off?
10%.
Okay, it is 10%. And they've got all of your vinyl toys. They've got your Funkos, but they do all the other cool stuff too. So,
what cool stuff?
I don't even know.
Nakatomi stuff.
Like, what?
Nakatomi Towers.
No.
Yeah?
They might have that.
You want a giant vinyl?
would like a giant vinyl Nakatomi Tower. That would be cool.
I want a Nakatomi Tower Lego set.
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Should submit that to Lego Ideas.
With little tanks and stuff that you can drive through the doors.
At one point
they need to have a minifig jumping out the window is what they need.
And you can open the top and there'll be fire coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so cool. See, you need to submit this into Lego Ideas.
Yeah, they have that Lego Ideas, don't they? Yeah. Let's do it.
They recently came out with a Tron Lego idea.
Is it going to be made?
Yeah, it's already made.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's the light cycles from Tron Legacy.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I missed out on the Back to the Future one.
I didn't care for that one.
Really?
I didn't like the way it looked. I did buy the Ghostbusters one, though.
I did, too.
In a quick hurry.
I put that together, too. That was fun.
It is a good build.
All right, so we got off topic there for a second.
That's okay.
It's Legos. It happens.
Right? I don't think they sell Legos, but they do sell Bandai Artifacts.
Bandai. See, I knew it was something
Japanese.
Banpresto,
and more. And like Dave said, Metal Geeks at the checkout, and you'll save 10%.
Yeah.
TantrumCollectibles.com.
Get on those Tantrum Collectibles.
So you ready to wrap it up? And since we forgot to give all our social media stuff out on the last episode.
Go ahead. You can find us all Metal Geeks at all the social medias. That will be Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitter spheres. At Metal Geeks. Hit us up. And if you want to email us, just email Carrie. If you know him personally.
Actually, it's true. MSRcast@gmail.com is if you have any comments or concerns or customer service questions, ideas for topics, or
just want to hang out.
If you have a George Hates Metal band you want us to cover,
we will shit all over it just for you.
Or maybe not. Maybe he'll like it.
Or not.
We don't know.
I don't know.
You can also find us on iTunes. Please like us there. Give us a review. You can find us on our website, metalgeeks.net, and at our affiliate link at esopodcast.com. That's where you can find all your cool Metal Geeks shenanigans. What about you guys?
You can find me at George Tripsis on all the social medias, and more importantly, my comic book Speak No Evil. You can find it on Comixology and at Grey Bear Comics. It's GrayBear. Yeah, B. Yeah, well, it goes without saying.
Well, if you spell the first part, you got to spell the second part.
Grey Bear Comics. G R A Y B E A R S. Or actually, no, there's no S.
Well, see.
I fucked it up.
You
Sorry.
Fucked it up.
Yeah. Dave?
It's going to be hard to follow that, but you can find me at Red Viking Dave on all of the things.
There you go.
I think that's it.
I've been up since 4 a.m. I'm tired.
Go to bed, man. I have one last thing I want to say. Keep it metal.
And always keep it fucking geeky. Don't wait 14 years to keep it geeky. Just be geeky.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Don't make us fucking wait.
Tired of that shit.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
You gotta ask yourself one question, punk.
What the hell is a cigar nerd?
Welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast.
It's the only show where two guys smoke cigars and talk about nerd culture.
Do you like movies, games, comics, sci-fi, pop culture, and beer?
Do you like science, nerd news, explosions for no apparent reason?
Then this is the show for you.
It's like being in a nerdy cigar shop, but for your ears.
Check us out at CigarNerdPodcast.com.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.